WGR Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
I work out.
On WGR.
What? What?
Sports Radio 550.
All right, we are like running up the stairs, opening the door, getting in here. Derek's getting us on the air. I mean, Derek, he's like, nope, I'm not giving you an extra 30 seconds. You are getting on the air right now. I don't care if we have to go dead air. You were secretly hoping that Josh and I were going to be like left out there so you could host the show, weren't you?
No.
No, I know the way you were.
No. You see, when I'm not prepared for anything, that is when I don't want to have to talk more.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sports Talk Saturday. Sal Capaccio here with you. A special guest, Josh Reed, Channel 4, WIVB Sports Director in the studio with me. You've seen him on TV a lot. You've seen me with him. You've heard him in here. But we're going to spend a half hour today on a bunch of different things, so I'm glad you could make it. Good morning to you.
Hey, special would be one way to describe your guest, I guess.
Yeah, special guest.
Yeah, we made the sprint up the stairs because I lost my phone this morning, and Then the question became, what's a more helpless feeling, losing your phone or losing your wallet / purse? That becomes like, and in our industry, you lose your phone, you feel like you're so far out in the no man's land.
That's right.
And it's a disaster. For an hour, I felt like I had lost everything that I am and everything that I hope to be.
So I'll tell you, I like daily lose my wallet. I misplace my wallet every day. Every single time I leave the house, got to get my wallet. Where's my wallet? And it's like a running joke in my family with my wife. I get frustrated, but she just, yep, here we go again. Almost every day this happens to me. Are you like that or no?
No, because I put it, there's kind of a running joke that I literally say phone, keys, wallet.
Okay.
Like, when I walk out the door, I go phone, keys, wallet. Like, well. Mm-hmm.
It's like a mini Macarena.
Exactly.
But have a spot. I'm supposed to have a spot. I just don't put it in the spot.
You got
to
have a spot.
I might find it in my jeans that I took off in the pocket.
You got to get yourself a spot.
And I have to remember to put it there. That's the problem, right?
Well, you got to put it there. And last night I decided that my phone didn't want to go where in its spot. And this morning I'm in freak out mode.
Right.
And because I know that, okay. I gotta be on with Sal at 11. Where's my phone? Where is my phone? And you know how it is. You just start to freak out. And then it's like, all right, at what point do I go? I have zero phone numbers memorized. Do you know phone number?
I know a couple because I used to have to call them. I know my friend Chris, who you've met.
Yeah.
We've been friends for 40 years.
Yeah.
And when we lived down in Florida together, before cell phones were a thing, I used to call his phone all the time, and I know the number. I know my wife's number because I have to put it into, like, when we go to the store or something for the card.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
I know mine. Other than that, I don't. I really don't.
I know zero phone numbers. It's embarrassing how few phone numbers that I know because I have mush brain. I think that's just the way we are in the world. People don't remember phone numbers anymore. You don't have to. I've got so many other more important things going on in my brain. And by more important, I mean nothing really.
I hear you. Listen, this is what's going on in my brain today. If I'm distracted, I apologize. Today is Max's first day of Learn to Skate on the ice. And like
that's
right now.
Awesome.
And
He's got the hair.
Yeah, he's got the hockey flow.
He's got like really good hockey hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
he's got good hair
2 years ago and it didn't go so well. And then he's like, I'll try it again. And today,
good for him.
Now, from what I'm getting updates, I think it went well for a while and then it did not end well. So,
I hope he wants
to go back next week.
He's going to, he tried it again. And that's the key, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't like it. And he tried it again, so that says plenty. I mean, that he got back on the horse, and he didn't like it. If he doesn't like it this time,
then
it's fine, too.
We'll move
it
on.
It is what it is.
But, you know, you pay for something, you're like, you can't quit. Like, I've paid for this, you're doing it.
There's that fine line between, you know, you're right. I agree with you. Like, there was a time when I was little, like peewee football, back when, you know, kids played tackle peewee football, you know, when we were growing up.
Yep.
And I wanted to quit first week, and my dad was like, you're not quitting. No, That's not a thing. You're not going to quit. And I went back, and it was fine, and I finished, and then I played the rest of my
life.
That's
right, because you liked it.
Because I liked it. And I grew to really enjoy it, and still to this day, there are things that I learned from playing that sport and others that you just – you don't learn, I don't think. I don't know. There are things that you learn playing a team sport that you just don't learn in life.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll go okay. We'll find out later. I'll get more of an update. You know,
man, I figured
I was
strong.
FaceTiming
you know
earlier before you came in and like saw him on the ice, was standing up and all that. But now it's like, yeah, fell down,
and
crying.
And
now he doesn't want to go out. Okay,
it's tough.
So
yeah,
we'll see where it goes.
He still got that hair flow though.
Yes,
doesn't
he does.
Matter.
That
got
doesn't
hockey
matter.
Flow.
I want to set the show up for everybody today. Josh is here for about a half hour. We'll stick with him until the bottom of the hour, and then at that time, I'm going to get to Seren Petro, my buddy out in Kansas City, WHB Radio. You got a big game today, Colts and Chiefs. Obviously, first game of the divisional round playoffs at noon. It's Paul Hamilton on the Sabres last night. Lots of tough puck luck last night, boy, for the Sabres against the Carolina Hurricanes. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with Tyler Dunn. So Ty's going to come aboard. You know Ty very well, obviously, Josh as well. And he's always got some interesting takes, not only on football, but he's a big retro basketball fan. So we might have some fun with that when he comes aboard. You're going to be headed over to the UB game. That's coming up at noon. I want to talk about them in just a little while. We'll have that game for you, by the way, on ESPN 1520. UB taking on, I believe it's Miami of Ohio.
Yep.
So we'll start with the Bills, though, because I want to kind of put the season to bed here before we look to 2019 with Josh. You know, you get my perspective, Nate's perspective here on a Saturday. I'll give you Josh's perspective. He'll give it to you, I should say. Just looking back, the overall season for the Bills, did it go as the way you expected it to, or was it even better or worse than that?
I think it was better because at the beginning of the season, I thought you could judge the year, not on wins and losses,
mm-hmm.
but on the progression of Josh Allen, period. Now, Tremaine Edmonds ended up being, and I think we all believed that, you know, you draft that guy, you know, you hope that he could start and be a playmaker. I mean, and he's proved that at middle linebacker, this kid's going to be a stud and has just turned 20. So, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, you look at Josh, and you wanted to see what he could do. And to me, I thought I wanted him to start Week One. I did. We did a Buffalo kickoff live on Channel 4. You were a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and you know it was. You know, everybody had their own opinion on how quickly or slowly do you bring Josh along. And the whole time, I said, start him. Just throw him
me
to the
too.
Fire.
Me too.
Throw him to the wolves. You know, hey, good. Let him learn. And it's funny because going into this season, all these teams, those five quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round, everybody going into this, not everybody, but a lot of the national guys were going, oh, teams are going to bring them along slowly. They're not going to start from Baker being, you know, Baker Mayfield being in Cleveland to Josh being here to, you know, Josh Rosen being in Arizona. Like, all those teams went out and got a veteran, or as the Bills thought that Nate Peterman would be able yep. to hold it down. And then by the end of the year, Lamar Jackson started. You talk about, that's the one that I would have never guessed, was that Lamar Jackson would start over Flacco by the end of the year. Joe Flacco's a guy who's won a Super Bowl.
And I still have no real answer from anybody from this question, because there isn't an answer that's a good one, which is, why is Lamar Jackson considered it in any way to have had a better season than Josh Allen? Other than his team winning. His team
no.
did. His team had a better season. He was not better than Josh
no,
Allen this
of
year.
Course
he was
not. No, their defense was unbelievably good, and their offensive line is better than the Bills, which doesn't take much.
Right.
And they had an established, really good running game.
Yep.
Okay, great.
He didn't throw.
No.
His completion percentage was about the same. He had a lot more designed runs than Josh Allen. They put the ball in his hands, but yet, you know, they were given credit for the development of Lamar Jackson, and here is Josh Allen, which is, oh, he runs too much or whatever. I just thought it was a double standard for most of the season.
And to go all the way back to actually answering the question that you asked 5 minutes ago, I do think it was a successful season. I think the
because
Bills,
of the growth of Josh.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what you wanted to. You needed to know that going into 2019. You needed to know what he can do, maybe in some of his deficiencies as well. You needed to know both his strengths, his deficiencies, what he needed to work on.
Maybe more importantly,
was he inaccurate at times?
You
Absolutely.
Need to know that because you have to figure out how to structure the team around
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
Now you know that.
Now you know. He has a going into next year, he has a rapport with Robert Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has a rapport with some of these younger wide receivers. Like, you know, going into next year, the way that looks.
You know the skill set that you need to get that. To add to that, which I think that they have some speed now. They still need a little bigger body, maybe somewhere along the line. They did sign this guy, Duke
Antonio
Williams.
Brown.
There you go. Right, yeah.
Come on.
I can't see that happening. Not with this team. No way. Not with this regime. Hey, he's a selfish player. They are going to steer way clear from
guys
like that.
You know what? You're right and you're wrong.
Ha!
You're right and you're wrong.
Why?
You're right because they'll never do it. And
but you
you're
think they
wrong.
Should?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
I don't know.
You get... Hey. Hey, you know
he
what?
He is 30 already. I'm going to be 31.
Care.
And he brings with him this prima donna, selfish attitude.
Hey, then my next question to you would be, who is the best wide receiver since, if they signed him, who is the best receiver since
he
came?
Oh, he's the best. He might be the best receiver
but
in football.
What I'm saying is Andre Reed. Right? You got to go all the way back to Andre Reed before you'd find a receiver that's better than Antonio Brown.
They may never have had one in the history of the organization. I mean,
that's
Andre's Hall of Famer.
Okay, so
I don't dispute that.
I don't care.
I just don't think.
I don't care if he's a prima donna. I don't care if he decides that he doesn't want to talk to the media ever. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm good
until
with that.
That day you're in the locker room and you're like, dude, I need my 6 o'clock needs this guy.
Look,
come on, I need some video and sound from this guy. Let's go.
16 touchdown passes? I'm cool with that.
All right, so let's look at 2019, though. Do they... Here's where, like, Mike and Chris talk about this in our afternoon show, and we've differed on this, and they were surprised at my answer. And not that we differed, they were a little taken aback. They asked me about the expectations for 2019, and I said, guys, they got to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you don't get 3 years anymore to not win. We have coaches getting fired after 1 year now. Adam Gase, 3 years, he had a playoff appearance, he's gone, right? You got Steve Wilks for 1 year in Arizona, he's gone. They need to win next year. They have the draft capital. They, of course, have the salary cap capital now. This is not this is about 2020. I don't want to hear that anymore.
You're 1,000% right. And it's not about even making the playoffs. Win. Be a winner. Because you could, theoretically, you can go 10-6 and not make the playoffs.
That's right. I agree.
So, and that's fine.
I think so,
too. If you
go
10-6 and don't make the playoffs, it is what it is.
You didn't get
the
break on the tiebreaker.
Hey, you know what? That's karma coming all full circle from when they made it when they were 9-7.
Right.
I'm cool with that. You go 10-6, and if there's a couple games where you're like, yeah, you know, we just had a bad break, you know, whatever, you know, there was
couple
something
injuries.
Happened, you know, DB fell down,
and
the back, you know, in the secondary, and a guy scores last second, whatever, it is what it is. Like you said, injuries, stuff like that. But at the same time, they've done it the right way. Brandon Bean has done it, and he told us for the 2 years that he's been here, he has said, look, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off. We're gonna take the hit because when we got here, we were strapped financially. I mean, they had zero wiggle room when it came to the salary cap. And, I mean, the fact that they were able to go out and add bits and pieces of star and guys like that, and everybody goes, oh, well, he's missed so much in free agency. He's had no money.
Right, I know.
How do you miss when you've had no money?
You're trying your best to just get... You're rubbing nickels together.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what you're doing, right?
I think what he's been able to do and what they've been able to do late in the draft to me has been... And I know that that's only been Brandon for 1 year because Doug was ahead. You know, it was Doug and Sean 2 years ago before Brandon got here. But what Sean's been able to do, especially late in the drafts... Gives me a lot of hope for them stockpiling all these picks and kind of loading up. And
they have a couple fourths and a couple fifths this year.
A couple fourths and a couple fifths. And, I mean, you're going to have to probably unload the second pick to get Antonio Brown. Come on.
He'll cost more than Amari, wouldn't you think? And Amari cost a first.
I know. Well, you can't give up a top-end first-round pick.
No.
I don't think.
I'm not giving up any first-round pick at this point with this team.
Well, and here's the difference. Amari Cooper... wasn't forcing his way out of the Raiders organization. Brown is basically like,
right.
I'm I'm not going to show up.
By the way, on that note, just so everybody knows, I did check last night, and it was confirmed to me the fifth round of the Bills have is not the Raiders pick. It is the Steelers pick in the fifth round that they got from that the Raiders got from the Steelers for Ryan Switzer. So that is not a top five pick in the fifth round.
No.
It is like whatever that would be, somewhere in the teens. After all the comp picks, it slides down even further, you know, overall. But just so everybody knows, that fifth round of the Bills have, they have the fourth rounder from the Chiefs, Reggie Ragland, a couple years ago, last year. And they have a fifth rounder from the Raiders, which is actually the Steelers pick. All right, Josh doesn't have a lot of time here today. He's got to get over to UB, so I do want to talk NFL playoffs real quickly. We do have a phone call, though. Mike in Jamestown, you're on the line with Josh Reed and Sal. What's up?
Well, I was going to make fun of your wallets and cell phones.
It's okay.
Anyway, the Bills way exceeded my expectations this year, and I think if Josh Allen had missed all those games with that elbow injury, they would have gone a lot further than they did. However, comparing Josh Allen to Lamar Jackson, there's no comparison there. I think he's more athletic. I think he's stronger. I think he's smarter. And if the Bills spend a little salary cap and get an O-line this year, he'll have a lot more opportunities to, throw the ball. And especially if they get some wide receivers and more of a running game this year. And that's all I've got, guys. Have a good day.
You too, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you.
So before I move on real quick, higher priority, O-line or wide receiver?
O-line. You get at the end of the day, wide receivers are going to make Josh Allen better, and O-line will keep him from getting killed.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Right?
I mean, keep him healthier.
I need him to not die. Is my priority number one. Is everybody has seen what is it? Finding Nemo. Just don't die. Just don't die. As the fish is swimming. Like at the end of the day,
is this the time where I'm telling you I have never seen Finding Nemo?
No. Stop. You've never seen. Yep. Hop on. Here you go.
Dude. What?
I've never seen Finding Nemo. And I have a 5-year-old.
And you have a kid.
I know.
This is
the Incredibles all over again with you.
I know. I had never seen the Incredibles, but I have now. I have now. This is like last year we were talking about it.
You're my guy. But now you just slid
down the rankings. Derek, you've just bumped up.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that is.
All right.
That says a lot about you.
Yeah, I know. I was never the guy that watched those Disney and Pixar and all that stuff.
First, I love the fact that Max has been to 50 Sabres games, though.
I've never
seen Nemo.
That's true. He might have at school or something.
I don't know.
All right, so four games, two today, two tomorrow. Rank these in the confidence in which you have winning each one. All right, tell me the team. The four teams I'll give you, obviously, Colts, Chiefs, Cowboys, Rams, Chargers, Patriots, Eagles, Saints. Who are you most confident is going to win?
Wow.
It's tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. You know what? I really like the Chiefs. I do.
Wow.
I do.
That might be my least confident.
Yeah, see, I really like the Chiefs.
The way the Colts are playing,
I know,
Andrew Luck.
And I get it.
The demons of not winning in Kansas City, a home playoff game, and they're like 0 for the last six at home in the playoffs.
I know, but Pat Mahomes
is magical. By the way, see the weather there today?
That dude is magical.
See the weather today?
No.
Like freezing, ice, snow?
I'm okay with that. You know why? There's one team that plays indoors. Out of those two,
I don't care about that. Because the way the Chiefs play, they have to score. They have to score.
Of course.
And it's going to be harder to score like that.
Well, it would be harder for both teams to score.
I trust Andrew Luck more than I trust Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
I like the Colts to win.
Okay, so then that's a whole other question. How about this? How about this, though? So you're telling me you'd rather have Andrew Luck than Patrick Mahomes?
I'm
saying if you're a GM and you're going to start a team,
I might.
Brand new tomorrow.
I might.
You'd rather have Andrew Luck than Mahomes.
Whew.
I might. Wow, that's hot.
Andrew Luck right now might be the best quarterback to currently playing to not have won a Super Bowl other than Philip Rivers. Speaking of that, Cowboys, Rams, Chargers, Patriots, Eagles, Saints. Who's the next?
Saints.
Yeah, they're up there for me. That might be the most confident
Saints.
For me.
Saints.
I mean, I could see a path for the Eagles to win. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, Saints.
Right? Okay, next.
Patriots.
You know, everybody wants the Chargers, right? You want the Chargers? Yeah. I want the Chargers. We all want Philip Rivers, but my heart keeps telling me there's no way, right? It's going to be the same old story
in
New England.
Philip Rivers is a great story. That organization. Anthony Lynn's a great dude. We had a chance to know him. He's a great dude. And I'm not it's not an indictment on Sean.
Right.
He's a great dude and his success has been earned. And I love their story. And let's face it, at the end of the day, we'd all love to see the Patriots just get beat.
But I'm with you. If I pick the game now, I did pick the Chargers before the season started to go to the Super Bowl. So I would love that to happen. But as I sit here today, I just can't trust LA to go to New England and win. And New England is New England and Brady. And it's, you know, it just all that stuff starts coming back. Who are you taking Cowboys Rams in what could be a virtual home game for the Cowboys in LA?
Wow. I mean, I took all home teams, huh? So far.
The Cowboys can win because they can run, and the Rams have a problem stopping the run.
And that's why they're my least, my least favorite.
Least confident.
My least confident, yeah.
But you going to pick the Rams?
No, I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
All right, there you go.
You know
Josh
what?
I'm
going to pick the boys.
I think it's
how
like a 7-point spread. There you go, 7-point spread. All right, best new hire, worst new hire of all the head coaches that have been hired that you can run through in your head. Packers, LaFleur. Brian, it looks like Brian Flores in Miami. Gase with the Jets.
Not Gase.
He's not the best.
No.
Is he the worst? Freddie Kitchens?
You know what? You know what I found interesting about the new trend in the NFL is teams are now hiring. I think teams are starting to hire guys based on their relationship with the quarterback and how
or their relationship with Sean McVay.
Right.
That's all.
It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the 6 degrees of Sean McVay.
Have you been in a room with Sean McVay? Yes, you're hired.
Hired. Yeah.
Have you ever met Sean McVay? Yes.
Yeah.
You're hired.
Sean McVay has a short beard.
Yes.
You have a short beard. Thus you're qualified to be an NFL head coach.
I think we should just change Sal's name to Sal McVay and then he'll immediately get hired by an NFL
might.
Team.
Somebody would think that I might, get that job.
But I think it's interesting because I like what the Browns did. I do. Because if you look at Baker Mayfield's numbers after Hugh was cut loose and Kitchens was made the offensive coordinator, Baker Mayfield's numbers were ridiculous. I mean,
football team. There's a difference. I mean, he's a first-time head coach. Now he's in charge of everything. Head coach has to be a CEO. And oh, by the way, that relationship with the quarterback changes once you become the head coach and not just the OC.
I'm with you. I know that. I get that. And it was funny because Thad Brown, out in Rochester, who was on Buffalo Kickoff Live with us, he sent me a text knowing that I'm an Ohio guy and I grew up as a Browns fan, sent me a text immediately after Kitchens became the head coach and was like, thoughts. And I said, I'm so over trying to guess whether these guys are going to be good or not.
Who knows?
I just, because I don't know.
That's
because
right.
Look, people never, hey, if I would have told you Doug Peterson, when he got hired, is going to win a Super Bowl, you would have been like, no shot.
Mike Lombardi said he's the worst hire ever or something like
ever.
That. I think it was Lombardi
ever.
who said that.
How about the fact that Sean Payton, when he got hired, everybody was like, really? Sean Payton? That's the guy you're going to team up with Drew Brees? Like, that's the guy. That's the guy down there? You don't know. I mean, look, when the Browns hired 15 years ago probably Mike Holmgren to be the president of the organization, I went, this is where they turn it around. 15 years later, they stink.
I get you. It's totally different.
It takes players. You got to have players to win. I don't care who the head coach is.
I know you got to run here. You got UB at noon. You're going over there. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes here on UB before we get to Seren Petro, other side, by the way, in Kansas City, talking about the game today. This is a fabulous team. I did the game the other night on TV for them on ESPN Plus, and I got to tell you, I don't know if this may sound like an exaggeration. But it's truly not. I've been watching college basketball a long time. I'm a big fan. I don't think I've ever seen, Josh, ever, a team that goes steal transition bucket as good as this team.
Oh,
ever.
My God.
They're
amazing.
They get
up and down the
court. They take the ball away. get into transition, and then finish it. Well, like, they got all three. Now, you've seen better teams stealing or better teams in transition. I don't think I've ever seen the complete package like this.
They and if you go to a UB game, then you've heard Nate scream over and over and over and over again, run, run, run.
Yep.
How did you lose your voice? I yelled run 7,000 times during a game. That's what they preach. That's the way they play, and they do that because they're so deep. Like, that's their strength. They can run 9 guys out, 10 guys out on the floor.
And they can almost score from anywhere, all of them, it seems like. Perkins can step out. CJ can do all of
their
it.
They're big.
It's amazing.
And their smalls can get into the lane.
That's right.
You know, their smalls get
into
the lane.
Jeremy Harris had 34 the other night.
34. And I've said this. I said this going into the season. He's their best NBA prospect. CJ Massenburg's their best college basketball player. Jeremy Harris is their best NBA prospect. He's a lefty.
Yep.
He can step out. He's long. I mean, he's long. He's 6'6", 6'7", but he plays out on the wing, and he's long. He's super athletic. Defensively, he has some deficiencies, but it's the NBA, the next level. Nobody plays defense, really.
And was I to ask you about them? Oh, what, just as a parting, before we go here, what how far do you think they can go? Like, as far as tournament seeding wise?
I think this is a Sweet 16 team. I wrote an article going into the year that they would make the Sweet 16. This is as good a team from the MAC as like 3 or 4 years ago when I graduated from Kent State University. By 3 or 4, I mean close
like
to
30,
3 or 4
yeah.
decades.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the Kent State had a really good basketball team, and their best player was Antonio Gates, the Hall of Fame tight end now for the Chargers. And that team was phenomenal. I mean, and they were deep, and they were skilled, and this team is better than them, and that team made the Elite Eight. Will they make the Final Four? I don't know. Who knows? I mean,
they could be a top.
A lot of that is matchup.
Four seed, though. They could.
But a lot of that is matchups.
That's right.
Too.
That totally.
You know, when
you get
when you get seeded, a lot of that's
totally
matchups
right.
and stuff, like how you match up with a team. Look, Arizona, who they beat last year in the first round, they were a nightmare matchup for Arizona. Like, Sean Miller, Arizona's head coach, had to look at that matchup and go, what did we do to deserve this matchup?
Totally.
They would have been better off playing a higher-seeded team than UB that was a better matchup for them that relied more on inside game. UB was a nightmare matchup for them. And they're going to be a nightmare matchup in this tournament. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if they don't make the Sweet 16. Shocked. I mean, that's how good this team is. Because like you said, if they have one or two guys that maybe go a little cold, they've got two or three other guys that can carry this team. Last year, Wes Clark was kind of the guy.
Right.
Now, CJ Massenburg was like 1B. But, yeah, I mean, this team's loaded.
I don't mean to kick off, but we got to get to a break, and I got to get Seren Petro. He's got a long day in Kansas City. He's going to join me. You're going over to the UB game. They tip off at noon. We'll have it on 1520. Of course, you can catch all the highlights as well on your station, Channel 4 on TV. People want to do that.
Absolutely.
Because you are the official station of UB Athletics, just like we
station.
Are here
yep.
on the 1520 side. So enjoy the game today. And we'll talk to you again. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You're my man.
All right. Josh Reed,
Even
Channel
you
4.
You haven't seen Finding Nemo.
I have not. I know. We'll talk to everybody at the other side of the break with Seren Petro from WHB in Kansas City. All right, we're going to waste no time here, and welcome on the West Her Hotline, my friend Seren Petro from WHB 810 in Kansas City. And there's a big game going on today, of course, kicking off divisional round weekend, Colts at Chiefs, 4:35 p.m. Eastern start. My man, what is going on? Thanks for doing this today. I know you're busy.
Oh, man, I'm thrilled. Always glad to be on a Buffalo-like day in Kansas City. We got 5 inches on the ground. It's still snowing big time. Morons don't know how to drive. But I got a four-wheel drive and lived in Syracuse for 4 years, so I am gold.
Yeah, I mean, first question I was going to ask you is, you know, Seren, everybody's always asking me about the weather in Buffalo. Today's a day that we need to ask you, how is this going to impact the game and specifically that high-flying Chiefs offense?
You know, I think the Chiefs put in a heated field 3 or 4 years ago. So the only snow it's going to get is what it's going to get from the time they pull that tarp off. Now, there's supposed to be snow off and on throughout the course of the day, all the way up till 10 o'clock. So we could have flurries all during the game, parts of the game, none of the game. But I think the heated field is going to keep a lot of the snow off. But it is a really heavy, wet snow that I think will probably melt. I don't know if they can keep those heaters on while they play, right? I'm no turf expert or anything. But I know that they'll be able to keep, like, right now there's probably no snow on the field would be my assumption. And if it stays this wet kind of snow, I don't know. You tell me. You probably know better than me whether or not that's the kind that would accumulate on a heated field or not.
It stays for a little bit, but you know what? Guys are running around and things like that, so it can pretty much go away. But if it continually falls, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just going to stay there, and it's really hard. It's really more of the footing than anything that gets these guys, right? I mean, especially, I know it's not going to be frozen necessarily if it's heated, but if that snow sticks a little bit, you're going to get a little bit of the footing, and that's going to take away some of the speed. And I know this Chiefs team really relies on that speed, which is going to be tough for them.
They do. I think there's no way around it. I'd be a complete homer if I somehow tried to spin you that the snowy conditions will help the Chiefs. I mean, it turns it more into, remember that great game the Bills had?
Yep.
With LeSean McCoy plowing through the snow, and it turns it into who can move who off the line of scrimmage. I think that clearly benefits the Indianapolis Colts and that offensive, the Chiefs defensive front is built on speed just like their offense and getting up. They're not very good defensively, but what they do well is get after the quarterback. I mean, if you can't get any footing and get that first step and use that silent count where the offensive line's a little bit late coming out of that stance to your advantage, then it really neutralizes the one thing that the Chiefs can do well against the Colts offense. So if that field isn't cleared, if that field doesn't have footing, then there's no doubt it benefits the Colts.
So, Seren, how much angst is there today amongst Chiefs fans considering there's so many ghosts and demons at that field for the playoffs and their history? I mean, the last playoff win for the Chiefs at home, as you know, Joe Montana was their quarterback, but it's not like they haven't played games there. Is it over their last sixes? And I believe you tell me, but how much angst is there and how much is that necktie kind of getting a little bit tight there?
Yeah, I think it is. For six of the, lost in 95, lost in 97, lost in 03, lost in 15, maybe at least 0 for 4. I'm probably 2 in there as well. I think there was a maybe a 94, maybe a late loss. Probably about 0-6. This is what I do. The numbers that I know that just absolutely kill me. Kansas City Chiefs organization has won more playoff games in Houston, Texas than they have Kansas City, 3-2. The Indianapolis Colts have won as many playoff games in Kansas City as the Kansas City Chiefs have, 2-2. The entire Chiefs organization, this goes back to the Dallas Texans in the AFL days, has won 2 home playoff games. Those games you're talking about are the only 2 home playoff games this franchise has ever won. Now, listen, there were a lot of things going into the Andy Reid regime that were really negative, like not having won a playoff game, period, since then. They checked that box by getting a win down in Houston in 2015 against Brian Hoyer and the Texans. Really, that's the only kind of quarterback that they can beat. Excuse me. Next thing was, they never drafted a quarterback. They checked that box last year. They never developed one. Clearly, that's come together this year. This feels kind of like the end of The Godfather, where all family business gets settled today. You know, the Colts are hopefully on the massage table, you know, and here it comes. You know, don't put your glasses on because here comes the shot, right? This is where you exercise everything. In 1 year, it feels like the Chiefs are going to find their quarterback, develop their quarterback, set passing records, win a home playoff game, and maybe even finally deliver the Lamar Hunt Trophy, the trophy that holds the name
right,
of the man who founded the AFL and their organization, to Kansas City for the first time. So there's a tremendous amount of angst. There's confidence because for the first time, they have the franchise quarterback to root for, Chiefs fans. They have 15. That's where the confidence comes from. But anger, frustration, fear, tension, all of it has been going on for 2 weeks in this town, and the hope is that this is the final scene of The Godfather, and all those things are going to be delivered to Chiefs fans this year.
Seren Petro, WHB Kansas City on the West Her Hotline. It reminds me a little bit, Seren, as you know, because I've talked with you on your station, the 17-year playoff drought here was, it's just something we talked about every day. It didn't matter who was a part of it. The people in Kansas City now, like Patrick Mahomes has nothing to do with the past failures of the home playoff games. We know that. Just like Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, and for that matter, Rex Ryan, had nothing to do with when all those people got here of past failures and not making the playoffs. But all we did every day on the radio, all fans ever did, was talk about the drought, the drought, the drought, the drought. It consumed us all the time. Is it all consuming about, oh my God, this is a home playoff win drought that we just have to get by. And once we do, we feel like we'll break that door down.
Let me see if I can figure out the Buffalo approach. It starts out by saying we had a tough game today, you know, and we just haven't been able to find a quarterback or develop a quarterback. And, you know, I know McDermott got us to the playoffs, but, you know, we haven't had a playoff win in 17 years. And I've been a fan, and I've been a season ticket holder for this long, and it's this angst that just builds and builds and builds. It's a runaway freight train, of course. It's exactly the same way here in Kansas City. You know, and Andy Reid comes in, and he gets a fresh start. But after about 3 years, you assume the responsibility
right.
for all past transgressions for the organization. Whether Andy Reid likes it or not, he answered 6 questions in 1 press conference
wow.
about whether or not he understands the frustration of the fans with the Colts and with the lack of success in Arrowhead Stadium. Whether he likes it or not, he wears it. Patrick Mahomes answered 3 questions about it. For God's sake, the kid wasn't even born when the Chiefs won that playoff game. It's clearly not his fault, yet he has to answer those questions. And I'll tell you what it may have done. You know, we hear all the time people try to make themselves, well, nobody thought we could do it. You know, the Pats, 4 Super Bowls. Nobody thought we could. Oh, shut up. Everybody knew you could do it. You won it 4 times. You've been there 7 times. We all knew you could do it. We just didn't want you to do it. Well, this is that rare situation where the networks have publicized the fact that the Chiefs haven't won since Joe Montana. The town has been all over it for years. Everywhere you turn, the league and football fans are talking about that. So the Chiefs players can't understand it. It actually is a situation where you have the number 1 seed playing at home, favored by 6, and literally no one thinks they can do it. They actually do get to play that no one sees this coming card while being the number 1 seed, which hopefully is a good thing for the Chiefs in this game.
Amazing. You're right about that. It's just they seem like they're almost like the underdog here, even though they're playing at home, because everybody says, ah, Colts playing with house money. Chiefs have all this pressure. You're right. Now going forward, though, you have the Chargers and Patriots on the other side of the bracket. Is this Chiefs defense, if they get by today, however they do that, is the Chiefs defense good enough, Seren, to win the AFC and maybe even the Lombardi Trophy?
I think it's good enough to win the AFC. Let me put it this way. I think it's good enough to win 2 games, right? That's what I always talk about in terms of the playoffs. Are you a team that's good enough to win 3 or possibly 4? Like, the Chargers were good enough to be a home team and only have to, or at least a bye week team, and play 3. But sometimes you go 12-4 and somebody doesn't cooperate and you have to play 4. Are you good enough to beat 3 or 4 playoff teams in a row? And my answer is that if you look at the course of the season, the Chiefs can handle business against the muck, right, the wash of the NFL, but they're 2-4 against playoff teams. I think they can win 2 games. And if they can put them back-to-back, they can get to the Super Bowl because they got that bye week. I don't think they're good enough to win 3 in a row. That one, you know, loss out of 3, they can win 2 out of 3. The one loss comes in the first game, you're out. That's the problem with a single elimination tournament. So they're good enough, I think, to get to the Super Bowl. If they get there, sure, they're good enough to win any one game. But I think the likelihood that this team can cover up the problems they have on defense for 3 consecutive games against 3 playoff opponents is unlikely, in my opinion.
Seren, before I let you go, something non-game related. We're going through a stadium situation here. The New Era Field, formerly Rich, formerly Ralph Wilson Stadium, is 44, 45 years old, basically. And it's time. It's time for something to be done. The Pegula Sports and Entertainment, the company that owns basically the Bills and Sabres, the Pegula's company, they sent out a survey to all season ticket holders asking pretty much if it came down to a new stadium or a renovated stadium, and all these different questions about what the fan experience will be like and what they want. You've gone through that in Kansas City. You guys had a huge, huge reno and retrofit. Can you kind of tell us in Buffalo what we're in for? What if we went down that road? Is it okay? Because there's a stigma here. I think there's a perception from people here in Buffalo that if they just retrofit this stadium, it's never really going to be good enough. What is it like now, and what was it like before?
You know, it's 3 years of going to games at a construction site, so the fan experience is diminished. There's no way around that. Listen, I've been through it. I would tell you to build new, because I believe that when the Chiefs leases up here, and I think it's 28, somewhere around 22, 23, 24, we're going to start talking, and we're going to start talking about building a new building. And I think it's more about what the city needs than it is necessarily what the football team needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the league pretty much says if you build a new stadium, we'll give you a Super Bowl, you know, kind of, right? They gave New York City a Super Bowl outdoors. But I think if you build a dome stadium, you'll get a Super Bowl. And I think that's worth a lot to your town and the perception of your city to have that. Plus, so many things today You know, as I find out, the people in Glendale, Arizona, where I go to spring training every year, and in Indianapolis, all the other events that they're actually able to have in that building means it's something that you can actually use it for. You know, the Chiefs, they do a handful of concerts there, but there really aren't that many concerts anymore that can fill out an NFL stadium. A lot of times they're tarping off the top deck. They're only using the lower two decks. So, you know, for me, I think we're going to end up with an indoor-outdoor stadium. I think we're going to end up with a retractable roof stadium wherever you play professional sports. So to me, I would be about doing that right now, because if you retrofit, I think you're going to turn around in 20 years and be doing it again. The problem is, and I don't know where it is, where the capacity is, or Rich, Arrowhead has too many seats. Like they literally, for the fan experience that you get at home with your big screen TV and the creature comforts and the savings on price and the comfort of the seats, you know, I don't think you can build it as big as Arrowhead is. And so I think the newer stadiums are more the expandable, where we take some seats out that we don't normally sell anyway in the end zone. And then if we have a Super Bowl, like Jerry Jones Dome, we wheel in some extra seats and we can put some more people in there to expand it. I think that's the better way to go. Arrowhead's a great place. It's a tough one to say because everybody talks about how great Arrowhead is because of the performance the Chiefs have during the regular season. But it's a bittersweet for Chiefs fans to swallow because there's no success in the postseason. So for me, I would build new. The other problem that Arrowhead has is with their renovation, they had to expand the apron, meet ADA requirements, meet new security standards, and that meant the apron went out so that the security perimeter, in case, God forbid, anybody tried to drive a bomb at the stadium, is pushed out. That complicated all their parking areas. So do you have plenty of space for parking? Because it got way worse to get in and out of Arrowhead as opposed to getting better after the renovation. So hindsight 2020, I think they should have built new. They should have moved our baseball stadium downtown and given the whole area to Arrowhead so that they could alleviate a lot of the congestion they have on game days, and built a retractable roof stadium that could have been used for more than what it is.
Interesting perspective. I appreciate it. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you run, and I know we got the 4:35 p.m., 3:35, I guess it would be your time out there today, Colts at Chiefs. Stay warm, enjoy the game, and we'll talk soon.
All right, brother, thanks for having me. Always good talking to you.
Anytime, Seren. That's Seren Petro, WHB Kansas City, host of the program, Middays out there. Does a great job. My buddy from Syracuse from back when. We're all over the place. You know, we just dominate the sports media landscape of Syracuse University folks, right? We're going to take a timeout, going to come back. I got like 2 minutes for Brian Cozio down at Alumni Arena right before tip before UB, and then we'll get to Paul Hamilton after the noon hour on WGR. All right, we're going to waste no time. Brian Cozio on the Wester Hotline. He is virtually across the street from me right now at UB's Alumni Arena. Bulls taking on Miami of Ohio. Tip-off in just about 5 minutes or so, maybe shortly after that. And, of course, the Bulls looking to stay undefeated in MAC play. They were 12-1 in non-conference, so they're 14-1 overall. Brian, what's the atmosphere like there so far? What do we expect today?
Sal, I have never seen it this busy this much before a game. They actually have signs in the general admission area in the what would be the end zones behind the baskets that say only one person per seat number. They actually have the seat numbers on the
wow.
bleachers. Standing or Moley, I actually passed a few said, you know, that they're just planning on standing here. Like they've gotten here early to hit their spot. So it's pretty amazing the fact that this game is essentially a sellout and students aren't in session, which means the normal, you know, 1,000 or so students that show up plus the band that takes up all those seats, they're already all sold too. And I mean, as I look right now from where I'm at, the top row of the 300 level, like, it's mobbed all the way to the top here, and we're still 5 minutes before tip-off. So people in this town are definitely buying into this team.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking this morning, Buffalo is a very, very unique place because if you think of all the schools in the MAC, and I was running through them in my head, you could correct me, I don't think there's any other team in the MAC conference that is in a city that also has not just two pro sports teams, but even just one pro sports team. It's very, very hard to resonate when you're in that type of environment, but this UB team is really starting to resonate in Western New York.
Yeah, I mean, I remember from doing the football games, we would travel. They're all little small towns in Ohio and Indiana and Illinois, and you're right, to have professional sport. I mean, this is clearly the biggest market in the MAC. So I'm sure that, you know, the MAC officials and the board loves the fact that Buffalo is now on their radar because they're representing this and it's getting more national attention. It's weird. We know when we talk about the Sabres and the Bills, we always consider them to be small market in their perspective professional leagues. But in terms of the conference that UB's in, I mean, they're They're like the Yankees, essentially, in terms of how they can market. And obviously, the conference is benefiting. And even the other schools, you know, when they've got a really good team like this, they're obviously, today Miami's not rooting for Buffalo, but the rest of the programs are rooting when you have a powerhouse to gain conference respect. And the farther they advance, the more money they win for the conference, which ultimately gets spread out to the school. So when there's a powerhouse team like UB is for the MAC right now, the whole conference, unless they're playing them on a day like this, they're in support of them too.
Miami, Ohio comes in at 8-7. The UB Bulls come in at 14-1. Brian, you're going to be down there and enjoy it. I know you got the fam with you, or just you taking in the game?
Yep, here with the fam today and my son, so we're having a good time. I figured I was loving that this game was at noon because I have to do Sabres at 7, of course. Yeah. So it worked out perfect for me to be able to do the doubleheader today.
All right, well, a really fun, long day for you today, though. You got the UB Bulls today, playoffs later. I know you like to watch Syracuse a little bit. They're on at 6 o'clock today. And then, of course, you have pregame at that time, though, with the Sabres. So enjoy it today, and thanks for your time.
Okay, Sal, thanks a lot.
All right, that is Brian Kozio over at Alumni Arena. The UB Bulls taking on Miami of Ohio. That game is tipping in just a few minutes, so you have time to get there. Get up to the box office, grab a seat, buy one, get inside the arena, cheer on those Bulls. It's cold outside. They're a fun team to watch. And yeah, think about it. Think about all the teams in the MAC, all the cities that they represent. Bowling Green, Kent State, Akron, Ohio, Miami, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Ball State. I mean, some of these aren't even named after actual cities. Buffalo's the only one that has pro sports teams. And not only one, but two. So it's hard. It's hard to crack that, but they are doing it, man. They are doing it because of the way they play ball. Paul Hamilton coming up. We'll talk Sabres last night. Lost the Carolina Hurricanes. That was a tough one. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the best team in the NHL comes to town tonight in the Tampa Bay Lightning.